Well, good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that is all about the issues of aging. So glad to have you with us this morning. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years on KFBK. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one who knows what the heck they're doing. And there's a lot of them that don't. There's also some that do. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. What else? I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be, because then I can tell you the truth. I don't know. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or any other advice. It's just my opinion only. You know, I've had to give that disclaimer for 18 years, folks. And the reason we have to do that is because there are so many people that don't want this show to exist. If I listed them for you, I would get sued some more. But there are lots and lots of people who do not want you to know the truth, who do not want you to, you know, this week I read an article by one of the former directors of Medi-Cal on how Medi-Cal's positive impact on California. Their budget is $59 billion, folks. $59 billion. It spends more money than education, than roads, than any other program in California. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But one of the things I've done for all of these years is try to bring you information and the truth about how long-term care works, what happens when we get older, how are we going to take care of ourselves. We're going to talk about home care a little bit. I want to read you a couple letters to the editor from the Wall Street Journal and all of those kinds of things. So I'm glad to have you with us. If you're getting older, if you know someone that's getting older, you know, there are 74 million baby boomers left. Started out with 79, 5 million of us have already died since they started keeping track of the flood of baby boomers coming in, turning 65. But there's still 74 million of us left. We're going to get older. We're going to have a tremendous impact economically on this country, negatively and positively. It's going to impact your families. I had somebody in my office yesterday where one of the children is paying $5,000 a month to take care of mom out of their own pocket because mom, nobody ever thought mom was going to get older and mom was going to need help. Now, I don't know about you, but if all of a sudden you had to pay an extra $60,000 out of your pocket to take care of somebody, would it have an impact on you financially? To some of you, maybe not, but that's exactly what happens every day in my world. And I'm going to keep, as long as I can keep doing this, I'm going to keep talking about this until everybody pays attention. I am tired of people walking into my office and everything's gone. I had somebody in my office yesterday, or the day before, pardon me, I can't remember, a veteran. We don't talk about veterans' benefits nearly enough. Maybe I'll try to talk about that a little later in the show. I'm not an accredited VA agent, but I can talk about it. And he's got an Agent Orange disease, and he has for over 5 years. He would have qualified right now for all, between $200 and a quarter of $1 million in help from the VA that he has lost because he didn't fight. Nobody ever told him he was eligible for these Agent Orange benefits because of his disease, and he's had it for 5 years. You know, it's important that you understand what's out there. It's important that you understand what works. It's important that you don't listen to the you-know-what, I can't say the word on the air in polite society, that's out there, that's floating around, the stuff that I hear and read and see every day, the seminars that people are going to that and they're absolutely being taken, the information that people get and they're absolutely being taken, the nonprofits that are out there supposedly helping seniors, and they're not. They're either insurance agencies posing as nonprofits, or you know, their attorney referral services making money off of suing people. So you have to kind of understand how the system works, who's involved in it. When it comes to long-term care, it's a game. And if you don't understand the rules of the game, if you don't understand the rules of Medicare and Medi-Cal and how nursing homes work and who pays and who doesn't, and what's this spend down thing, and what about the 5-year look back or the 3-year look back or the 30-month look back, and I can't make any gifts and I've only have $2,000 and my living trust will protect everything, and all the other baloney that you've heard, if you are not able to wrap your heads around it and your minds around it and your planning around it, the stark reality is that you're going to wind up one of the victims of that system. And tens of thousands of Californians every year wind up a victim of that system. And so we're going to keep talking about it here. I'm going to do this as long as I can. How do you get in touch with me? How do you get more information? Well, get out a pencil and paper because you want to write stuff down. I mean, you really do want to write stuff down. And the first thing you want to write down is my phone number. My phone number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. If I'm not there, leave me a message. I'm very good about returning phone calls. Again, 800-999-8007. You can also go, the best place to go is my website. If you go to my website, assetsandaging.com, again, pardon me, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and, A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. If you go there, you can sign up for my website. Oh, I'm sorry, my newsletter. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have them all the time. You can sign up for an appointment. You can ask me a question. You can get information. You can, if you go there, you can listen to all my archived radio shows and podcasts. They're all there. I do a podcast live every Wednesday at noon on my website. And every Wednesday, I spend about 15 minutes talking about one specific subject. And you can go and you can listen to that podcast, and hopefully it will keep you informed. The purpose of all of this is to drive you to action. You know, I had somebody come into my office the other day, has been to two of my workshops, came in to see me, and they still left to go home and think about it. Now, the reality is, what do you think they're going to do? The reality is they're going to do nothing, because everybody is looking for plan C. Everybody is looking for that vitamin that's going to cure cancer. Everybody is looking for that special thing that's going to cure whatever it is. Everybody's looking for, you know, there must be some. When I was growing up, those of you that are my age, you will remember this. It was believed, now this was when cars were carbureted, folks, so this was a long time ago. Now everything's fuel injection. But when cars were carbureted, it was believed, there's no evidence, but it was believed that all the car companies had a secret carburetor that would triple gas mileage, but they weren't releasing it because they wanted to sell more gasoline. Well, first of all, automobile companies didn't sell gasoline. But secondly, pardon me, there was no such thing. It was just somebody, you know, it's like the tinfoil hat people. But people believed it, and people believed that there was a secret thing out there. Well, when it comes to long-term care, it's the same thing. Everybody believes there's a plan C. There's some way to do this that is free, or doesn't cost anything, or is simple, or whatever, or I can do in 5 minutes, and it's going to answer all my questions. Well, I'm here to tell you there never has been, and there never will be, a plan C. And the reason why is because your life and your family's life is completely different than your brother's life, your sister's life, your neighbor's life, your cousin's life, your grandma's life, your grandpa's life. Everybody's circumstance is different. People ask me all the time, they'll say, well, Bob, can you send me a brochure? Okay, on what subject? Tell me about, I don't have a brochure on your life, so what brochure do you want me to send you? Because if I send you a brochure and 80% of it applies not to your life, but maybe to the next guy's life, you're going to say, well, this doesn't apply to me. But the 20% that does, you will ignore because the 80% of the brochure that does, I hate brochures. Because usually brochures tell you nothing. Okay? And brochures always have what in them? Fine print. There's no fine print to this radio show. What you hear is what you hear. There's no fine print in anything that I do. What you do is what you do. It's important that when you go out to seek advice, you understand that the advice, I'm stunned at how many people come in and talk to me. I shouldn't be after 25 years, 30 years, but I'm stunned at how many people walk into me and we'll start talking and they say, well, I went to see so-and-so, I went to see this attorney, I went to this seminar, and they never asked me those questions. How come nobody asked me these questions? And it's because most people aren't results-oriented. I'm results-oriented. At the end of the day, I want to get you to where you want to be and need to be. I'm not interested in telling you what a book says. I'm interested in taking the information that I've learned or that other people have taught me and hopefully applying it to your life to make your life and your situation better. So when we begin to go around and we're looking for information and we're going to seminars and we're reading articles, I can't tell you the number of articles that people have brought in. And it'll say this or it'll say that. And I'll say, well, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Or the seminar material someone will bring in and say, well, it says this. And I'll go, well, that's not true. I saw a seminar from material from an attorney doing workshops, and he's talking about the granny goes to jail law from the Bill Clinton administration, which is probably still on the books somewhere, but never been enforced and never will be enforced. But he was using that to sell stuff. This fear that if you did any planning without his oversee, that everybody was going to commit a crime, which is nonsense. But it's done all the time. So it's important that, number one, you be informed. It's important that you read. It's important that you understand. And it's important that the information that's being discussed is about your circumstance, not your neighbor, not your brother, not your cousin, not your best friend. It's about you and your family and your circumstance. If not, it's going to be meaningless. Okay, I want to talk just for a minute about some letters to the editor in the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal is the only newspaper, folks, that actually covers long-term care issues. And if you read the Wall Street Journal, which I highly recommend that you do, either online, I prefer the print version because I like holding, I don't read books on computers, I prefer holding one in my hand. I just prefer that. But there was an article not long ago in the Wall Street Journal, the first part of May probably, by a Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel on elderly, ailing, and treated at home. And it was an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. I don't have that in front of me. I have it somewhere. I just don't have it in front of me. But it was a discussion of people who are kept at home, because everybody wants to be at home without a real understanding of the needs of that person at home. So let me read you a couple letters to the editor about that article, and I want to read you one in particular. And the first one is from a doctor in Florida, and it says, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel's Elderly, Ailing, and Treated at Home, op-ed May the 3rd, on the benefits of independence at home, described an 87-year-old diabetic, post-stroke, hemiplegic woman with oxygen-dependent emphysema living at home with 6 hours of daily care, far more than she would receive in a pricier nursing home. What happens at the seventh hour when she needs help in transferring to a commode, or falls from her wheelchair sustaining a serious head injury, or when her blood sugars go out of control? As an elderly woman with multi-organ failure, she is in danger living alone at home. She personifies sick elderly individuals who need care in a setting with help available when needed. Living alone at home in her situation is unhealthy and dangerous. It is not cost-effective when it is not effective. Less impaired individuals living with loved ones should be good candidates for at-home assisted living. Financial support for at-home care is very desirable, blah, 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 blah. And what I wanted to comment on it is he's right. Again, I've been doing this a long time, and I like talking about reality, not fantasy. Again, not plan C, what really happens. We all want to stay at home. And I'm here to tell you home is not always the best place. We want to keep mom at home, and we don't confront mom because of guilt. Well, you know, I can't. Mom wants to stay at home. She's older. You know, mom should be able to get what she wants. You know, I want my mom. But it may not be safe for mom to be at home. And as the article says, this lady has 6 hours a day of care. What happens in the other 18 hours when there's nobody there to look after her? I cannot, you know, folks, most people who fall and break a hip are dead within a year. Falling, breaking a hip is not funny. Well, mom falls a little bit at home, but, you know, she seems to be okay. No, she's not. If she's falling at home, she's not okay. If your husband's falling at home, he's not okay. If your mom's falling at home, she's not okay. Well, mom just gets a little confused sometimes. No, she doesn't. She's going to get a lot confused. And if she's confused in your presence, how confused is she when she's not in your presence? Home is not always the best place. Home under the right set of circumstances, when planned for with appropriate care, could be absolutely the right place. But everybody wants to stay at home. I want to stay at home. I want you to stay at home. But you have to determine, is home the best place? And if it is the best place, under what set of circumstances? I run into people all the time and I'll say, they'll tell me, well, you know, mom can't stay at home anymore, so she's going to move in with us. Okay, good. Who's going to take care of her? Well, what do you mean, who's going to take care of her? Well, who's going to take care of her? Well, she's moving in with us. I understand that, but who's going to take care of her? Are you going to take care of her? Is your husband going to take care of her? And when she needs help taking a bath, who's going to give her a bath? Is she going to prepare her own food? Can she clean up after using the toilet? Can she dress herself? Can she wash her own clothes? Can she sort her clothes? Does she remember that blouse and that skirt don't go together? Or whatever it is? She's now in an unfamiliar surrounding. Is she going to walk out the front door and get lost and not remember where she is because it's not her home anymore? So to simply say, well, mom's going to move in with us, doesn't answer the question of who's going to take care of her. If you're gone, if you want to go away to Spain for 2 weeks on a vacation, who's going to take care of her? Are you going to pay for that? Who's going to pay for all of that? Who's going to manage mom's money if she can't manage her money? I mean, if mom's going to pay you, do you have a contract in place that says you can get paid by her? Do you have documents in place that even say you can take care of her? Simply to say, mom's going to be at home is not a good idea. There has to be some kind of plan, written and otherwise, that says, here, okay, we're going to leave, mom's going to stay at home. Here's our plan to make sure we stay in communication. We're going to make sure mom understands how to use Skype. We're going to set up protocols in the house. We're going to set up whatever so she can talk to us. We're going to set up systems so we know where she is. We're going to set up, you know, or are we just going to leave mom at home and hope we never get the phone call? The phone call that the fire department has come to the house and she's in the hospital. Or the phone call from Adult Protective Service that says, we found your mom six blocks from home. How come you're letting her wander around the neighborhood? It's a wonderful thing to stay at home. But home is not always the best place. And even if it is the best place, is there going to be care at home? So somebody's there during the day. Well, what happens in the middle of the night when it's dark and mom's home alone and she needs to get up and go to the bathroom? And she gets a little confused and she can't find the bathroom, or she trips over her shoes that she left on the floor, or, you know, and she doesn't like turning the light on in the bathroom because it's too bright and it wakes her up. Or she decides to wander into the kitchen, or all the 10,000 other things that are going on. I talk in terms all the time of determining as we age who's the responsible adult. And most of us like to defer to the fact that mom or dad or whoever it is the responsible adult. But that may not be true. In your case, is mom really capable of being the responsible adult, or dad, or whoever it is in your family that you're concerned about? Are you getting to the point where you can't be the responsible adult anymore? Doesn't mean because mentally you're out of it, although that could be part of it too. It could be that physically you're just not able to maintain yourself the way you used to be able to when you were 40 or 50. I mean, let's face it, folks. We're going to talk about some undelicate stuff now, but we're going to talk about it. How many of you have gone into an older person's home and noticed that there are strange smells about? How many of you have gone into an older person's home and noticed that hygiene has changed? That your mom, who used to be scrupulous about her clean clothes and her personal hygiene, And you know, how many of you have noticed that there are stains in chairs? And that mom's appears to be wearing the same undergarments for the second week in a row. Or dad is wearing the same undergarments for the second week in a row. Come on, be honest. How many of you have noticed a change in that? Do you think that's a good change? How many of you have noticed that your mom doesn't seem to be eating and drinking as well as she used to? Part of that could be because it's hard to prepare food, because it's hard for her to stand at the counter. Her hands shake. She doesn't like chopping with a knife anymore. She doesn't like cooking because she's unsteady, and it's those kinds of things. So if you're counting on plan C, you need to back up the truck and figure out what either plan A or B. Plan A, by the way, is to do nothing. Plan B is to do something. Staying at home is what we all want. Sometimes staying at home is just not possible because of physical or mental infirmity. Sometimes staying at home alone or without help or without a plan is an incredibly bad idea. You have to look around at your family and your mom or your dad. Are you living in a fool's paradise? Are you hoping it's all going to work out? Do you know that it's really not safe? Do you know what your mom, what's happening to your mom or dad when you're not there? Are you really observant when you are there? Do you go get Snoopy and walk around and see what places look like and see if there's garbage in the sink or other things? Are you paying attention to what's going on? Are you being nosy in a good way? It's important that if you're going to keep mom or dad at home or yourself at home, that you have a plan for that person's care, not only today, but as they continue to deteriorate. And the plan needs to be thought out. It needs to be in writing. It needs to be made together as a family, but it's imperative. If you need help in putting that together, call me. Don't wait. Get to one of my workshops. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, or call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Call me during the break. I'll get back to you, and we'll get you some information and start the conversation. We'll be back here in just a couple seconds, right after a little news and some other things, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live show that's all about the issues of aging. I want to talk a little bit about an article I read the other day, and this will probably get me in trouble, but I'm going to talk about it anyhow because it drives me crazy. This is the kind of stuff that's out there everywhere, folks, and that drives me nuts. And it's an article written by, I'm not going to tell you who, but someone who was intimately involved with Medi-Cal for a lot of years. And my job is not to embarrass anybody. My job is to help people understand what Medi-Cal really is. And I'm going to read you some of this article. It was found in several different places. I think in the LA Times, I think in several newspapers, in healthcare newsletters and other stuff. It's a fairly long article, and it's about Medi-Cal. And it talks about Medi-Cal's positive impact. And it's a long discussion about Medi-Cal's positive impact. By the way, review for those of you who are just joining us. I'm Bob Scrivano. I'm your host here for 18 years on KFBK. The show is Assets and Aging. Don't forget, you can always reach me at my office, which is 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, which is a better place to go, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can look up, you can ask me questions, you can listen to my archived radio shows and podcasts, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have workshops all the time. Get to one. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, they're like nothing else you've ever been to. I know you've all been to workshops on senior issues. You haven't been to one like mine. It's not like anything you've ever been to. So anyhow, I want to talk a little bit about Medi-Cal. I do a lot of stuff with Medi-Cal, primarily one program, Aged, Blind, and Disabled, which deals with people in nursing homes. There's another one I deal with sometimes called the Waiver Program, which is Medi-Cal for people in assisted living. It's a very small program. Very few people even know it exists. But it does exist, and it's out there. I don't even know how many Medi-Cal programs there are. There are a lot of them. But the article starts out by saying the following. You need to understand Medi-Cal because you've heard there's a 60-month look back, there's a 30-month look back, you have to spend down, there's a 3-year look back. Your revocable trust will protect everything. Your revocable trust won't protect everything. You can only have $2,000. The state's going to come after your children. The state has the right to recover, whatever. By the way, in this entire article written by this person who knows better, there's not one statement about Medi-Cal recovering over $1 billion from the estates of dead old people who were on Medi-Cal. Not one mention of it in this very, well, glowing review of Medi-Cal. But let me read a couple things from this article. Medi-Cal is a deeply misunderstood program, not by those of us who know it. It spends a lot of money, $59 billion dollars, folks. More money than education and transportation. Stop and think about that for a minute. And that's all taxpayer money. That didn't come out of, you know, it's all taxpayer money. Most of it coming from the federal government. Your tax dollars at work. And then he says something that is absolutely astonishing. The truth is that Medi-Cal is one of the state's most cost... Oh, wait a minute. It spends a lot of money, but it most certainly is not out of control. Yes, it is. It is upside down. And we're about to add 2 million more. In the last year and a half, we have added 3 million new people to Medi-Cal. One out of every three people in California is on Medi-Cal. One out of every three people in California is on Medi-Cal. Medicare doesn't even come close to that. And we're going to add, starting this year, between another million and another 2 to 2.5 million undocumented workers to Medi-Cal. Undocumented residents, not workers. Now, if it's $59 billion today, now, one of the things he quotes in here, now stop and think about this for a minute, okay? Let me see if I can find it. When we add the 800,000 undocumented children to Medi-Cal that we're going to add, he says it's going to cost 700 and some million dollars. I can't find the number right now because I didn't highlight the whole article. But it's going to cost like $700 or $800 million. Okay, we're going to add 800,000 people. Okay, where's my calculator? I'm going to get my calculator out. Okay, I'm going to take 800,000. Okay, 800,000. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, times, remember, every month, the state of California pays the hospital or the, and they'll all go into managed care. So pays the managed care program $100, $200, $300 a month in premiums. So the state of California pays the healthcare system a premium for taking care of that person. Let's say that's only $100. So let's multiply 800,000 times 100, and that equals $800 million. Now, what if it costs $200? What if it costs $300? What if it costs whatever it costs? We're already spending $59 billion. So if we spend another $3 or $4 billion more, his argument is that won't cost the state any more money because we're going to get that money from the federal government. Where does the federal government get its money? And by the way, I thought under the Affordable Care Act, there would be no more uninsured people. The dirty little secret is that most of the people under the Affordable Care Act who are getting quote-unquote health insurance are getting it through Medi-Cal or Medicaid. Most Californians, I'm reading from the article, are unaware that over the last half century, Medi-Cal has quietly provided support for programs utilized by all residents at one time or another. I haven't ever used Medi-Cal. Have you? I haven't. Have you? Well, he says all residents have used it. From emergency room services? Wait a minute. My health insurance or my Medicare pays my bills. Not Medi-Cal at the emergency room. Or when I was working, my Anthem Blue Cross paid the bill. Not Medi-Cal. Do you see the attempt here to take a negative and spin it into a positive? The negative being we spend more money on Medi-Cal and its programs than we spend on education or highways. By the way, have any of you been down a bumpy road lately? Have you read reports on how many bridges in California are in danger of falling in? We spend more money on Medi-Cal than we do on education, and everybody's screaming about education, right? More money, more money, more money, more money. We spend more money on Medi-Cal than we do on education or roads. And this person is bragging about that. At the same time, Medi-Cal has helped millions of recipients stay healthy, remain on the job, complete school, and lead productive lives. I'm still trying to figure that sentence out. And when he says Medi-Cal is not a welfare program, of course it is. It's asset and income driven. That's not necessarily, why does that have to be a bad word to say it's not a welfare program? Of course it is. Somebody making $1 million a year cannot go get on Medi-Cal, on general Medi-Cal. You can't do it. It's income driven. Somebody making $1 million a year in income or $200,000 a year cannot go get on the waiver program through Medi-Cal. Somebody trying to get PACE, Program for All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, cannot go get on the PACE program if their income is $200,000 a year. So to say that it's available to all and it's not is disingenuous. Why can't we just tell the truth about Medi-Cal and what it is and how its rules work? And nowhere, how many pages is this that I printed out? Five? Nowhere. Six, four pages. Nowhere. Nowhere. Does it say anything about recovery? Perhaps most significant, I'm reading from the article, Medi-Cal faces major changes as the baby boom generations requires increasing healthcare services. Many of these seniors will enroll in Medi-Cal for long-term care assistance, nursing homes, most. There are very few options for other programs to pay for the cost of long-term care. The Alzheimer's Association projects a 50% increase in Californians with the disease by 2025, and many will be covered by Medi-Cal. Now, let me tell you a truth. There's a nonprofit that I can't tell you the name of, but it would argue with that because they're telling everybody that the number of people in nursing homes are going down. Well, here's this guy saying, no, the number of people in nursing homes are going to go up and Medi-Cal is going to have to pay for it. Do you know what portion of the $59 billion goes to seniors? Not anywhere close to half. And yet he's using the fact that we have baby boomers to try to expand the program and talk about how important it's going to be to seniors. It is going to be important to seniors. But more and more and more seniors are going well where for Alzheimer's care. They're either getting caregivers at home, or they're going to memory care units in assisted living or boarding cares, which are not paid for by Medi-Cal. The vast majority of Medi-Cal billing goes to pay for hospitals and doctors and emergency rooms and all of that kind of stuff. Not to pay for seniors or long-term care or nursing homes or anybody else. Now, let me tell you the other dirty little secret that's not in this article. If you're 25 years old and you use Medi-Cal and then you die, there's no recovery. If you're 60 years old and you go into a nursing home because you had a stroke, after you die, the state's going to come after your estate. Now, why is that? Why is it that there's only recovery against the aged? Why is there only recovery against people over 55 years old? So if I'm 45 years old and I have a heart attack and I'm on Medi-Cal and I'm in the hospital and it costs $1 million and Medi-Cal pays that bill, when I die, there will be no recovery because it happened before I was 55 years old. Now, where do you think most of the tax money comes from? Do you think most of the tax money that pays for this program is coming from 20-year-olds? Or do you think it's coming from older people with higher incomes and more assets? So to say some of the things that were said in this article, I find just beyond the pale. It's hard to look anywhere in healthcare where Medi-Cal does not provide significant funding. Remember, Medi-Cal doesn't provide any funding. This is what did they call it in 1984? Something speak. I can't remember what it's called. Medi-Cal doesn't provide any funding. Zero. Nada. Nothing. Taxpayers provide all of the money for Medi-Cal. It's all a taxpayer-funded program. I don't have a problem with that. We probably should be helping people out who can't help themselves with health care. It's probably not a bad idea. But why try to make it sound like something it's not just for political ends? So that it sounds like a more palatable program. Couldn't get the word out. So that it doesn't sound like you and I are paying for it. It sounds like there's some benevolent third-party government agency that's paying for all of this. They may be writing the checks, but they didn't come up with the money. And as a result of this constant attempt to make it sound like it's something that it's really not, it becomes easier and easier and easier to expand the budget, expand the bureaucracy, and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, Medi-Cal's administrative offices, folks, take up two buildings downtown. It's the largest bureaucracy in the state of California. Not saying it's bad. Medi-Cal is valuable. Medi-Cal is needed. It's called Medicaid every place else. Wonderful things happen as a result of it. But you really need to look at how it's funded. You need to look at recovery. You need to really understand what it is that it has. Many different sets of rules, many different programs. Some people who apply for general Medi-Cal, if they apply for it in one way, don't have to prove any assets. If you apply for Medi-Cal in a different way, if you have too many assets, you can't get the program. It's an important distinction to understand that this is a program with gigantic books full of rules. If you ever want to have some fun sometime, go to dhcs.gov or go to just Google Medi-Cal and go to the state's website, dhcs.ca.gov. And in there, one of the places you'll find is laws and publications. Just go wander through that sometime and see how much of that you can figure out. And then they have another cool thing in California, most states have this, called all county letters. Well, Bob, what's an all county letter? It's a letter to a county. Well, is it a law? Nope. It's a letter. Well, I'm confused. Well, let's say there's a law that says something. Well, Medi-Cal is free to interpret that law any way it wants to. So when it decides how it's going to interpret it, it simply sends a letter out to the county and says, we've decided to interpret the rule this way. This is the way we're going to interpret the rule. We're going to interpret the rule this way. That then has the effect of law. Well, Bob, it's a letter. I know it's a letter. And if it's an emergency regulation, it doesn't have to go through any public hearings. It's an emergency regulation. They decided to do it. Now, right now, the state has promised not to do that anymore, but they still do it. And all county letters just get published by the department, and they become the rule. Well, do you have access to the all county letters? You can go read them. You can go onto their website and you can read all the all-county letters dating back to, I don't know, 1980. Long time. I don't know how far back they go, but they go back a long ways. I read them all the time because I want to be current. Because they're a secret way. Newspapers don't publish them. There's no legislative process. It's just an administrative letter. Now, let's say you disagree with that. Let's say you apply for Medi-Cal. And by the way, this is not discussed anywhere in this article either. It's just how wonderful it is. Let's assume you apply for Medi-Cal and you're denied. Well, you can go and you can file an appeal. It's called a fair hearing. If you've never been to a fair hearing, it's an experience. So you go to a fair hearing, which is an administrative hearing. There's an administrative law judge there. There's somebody from the county there. They're supposed to have given you a copy of their decision 2 days beforehand, but most people don't know that. You then sit in the administrative hearing, and there's an administrative law judge. You say, well, there's a judge here that's going to be fair and impartial, okay? And the first thing you have to understand is the judge is there from the Department of Social Services, which is another California department that's allied with the Department of Healthcare Services. So it's not exactly impartial. Okay, it's like going in front of a judge and finding out that the judge is an ex-employee of the person that's suing you. Kind of a thing. And so you present your case and the county presents their case and you don't get a decision. You have to wait now 2-3 months and then you finally get the decision. And let's say that you disagree with the decision. Well, you can ask for a rehearing, but the state and the county have to approve that you get an appeal. So if you get an appeal, it's only because they let you have an appeal. Let's assume for a minute that the administrative law judge finds in your behalf and you go, I win. No, you don't. Because the Department of Healthcare Services can choose just to ignore the decision. They're not bound by the decision. They're not bound by the laws of evidence. So when you go to a fair hearing, you find out that it really is not like a court hearing. It's an administrative hearing. And even if you win, you could lose because the Department of Healthcare Services doesn't have to follow the judge's direction. And it sets no precedent. So your decision one way or another, or other people's decisions one way or another. So when you write an article that makes it sound like this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it does nothing but good work, and all of that, I remember walking into a fair hearing once, folks, where I was the only one there that had a copy of the county's position paper, because nobody else there, there were probably 20 people in the room, I won't tell you which county, it doesn't matter, but I was the only one there that had a copy of the county's position paper. The only one. Nobody else, everybody else was handed the county's position paper when they walked in. They didn't even know they were entitled to it. They all went in and explained their case, and every one of them, I'll guarantee you, thought that this was a court at equity, which meant the judge is going to do what's right. No, that's not the way it works. And people then lose and are stunned. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that have lost fair, and they said, we didn't understand. I've taken lawyers to fair hearings with me who were aghast at what happened in fair hearings. And those are done by Medi-Cal. And nothing about that or recovery is talked about. Medi-Cal's important. It serves a wonderful purpose. It helps people out. It makes a difference in people's lives. But you should understand how it works, and you should understand its pitfalls and shortcomings and all of those kinds of things, because it's not what you think it is, and it's not what this article would portray it to be. It's just another government program. And if you know how to use it and you know your way around it, it can be very beneficial. If you don't, it will wind up and bite you in the rear end. Ask all of the people who have lost over $1 billion in the last 20 years through a state recovery back to the state of California. Ask the families of dead seniors and the disabled who have been sued by the state of California and by Medi-Cal to recover what they paid out for for mom or dad or whoever it was. Make sure you understand how Medi-Cal works. Make sure you have a plan for how you're going to protect what you own and what you have. Make sure you understand how the programs work. I don't have time to go into it, but those of you that are Medi-Medis or dual eligibles, you could wind up with an estate recovery and never use Medi-Cal. Yes, that is possible. If you need more information, if you need more help, if you're dealing with an aged loved one, someone's told you about Medi-Cal or veterans benefits and all of those kinds of things, you have to become informed. Get to one of my workshops. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. Become informed. Listen to my past radio programs or podcasts. Email me a question. Sign up for an appointment or just give me a call. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Those middle class and poor folks that wound up paying the $1.5 billion back to the state of California, the tragedy is it went into the general fund and not to their families. And the tragedy is none of them had to lose anything, but they made assumptions, and those assumptions cost them a lot. 800-999-8007. You can be prepared. You can make a difference in your family's life. It begins with a phone call, getting to a workshop, or coming in and see me and talk about your family situation and what their needs are. Not somebody else, not your neighbor, not your brother, not your friend, to find out what your needs are and what the solutions are for your family. I look forward to seeing you at an upcoming workshop. Thanks so much for your patience, for your loyalty to this show after over all the years, and to Assets and Aging. I appreciate it every day, and I'm grateful for you every day. Thanks so much for joining me. Make sure you get to the website, assetsandaging.com. Get to a workshop. Get in to see me, but make a difference in the life of your family member or your senior or your loved one. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Have a great day. Bye-bye.